This is a replay of the Tuesday night, November 18th WGN show. We started around 11 after the game. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 2 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And you can continue to vote on the world's worst hit records. Yes, you can do it by email. If you do, good luck on if I see it. If I do, we'll count it. We'll mention it on the air so other people can second it since it is a cumulative total. But I much prefer you call. No matter what we're doing, we'll stop down and talk about the world's worst hit records if you have nominations or seconds. So, 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. We got Jim and Don hanging on, and before I get there, yeah, why do we say God bless you when you sneeze? You ever wondered about that? Because it's so universal. I mean, every language. You're German, okay, Gesundheit. You know, whatever. The bottom line is that throughout the, I can't, you know, swear the Canary Islands are saying it, but for the most part, everybody everywhere, you sneeze, somebody says God bless you, and in fact, it's almost impolite if you say nothing. Total strangers will say it when you're out at a restaurant or what have you. So where did this come from? And I was hoping that the answer was going to be something like, because obviously a sneeze is you know, hard on the body to say the least. Maybe you're expelling the devil or something. I don't know. No, it's nothing like that. It turns out prior to the last century, you know, before 1900. The bottom line was that we didn't live very long and lots of diseases took us. And they were seeing a lot of deaths all the way around in young people. And so because infectious diseases topped that list, especially when it was, you know, plague time, the bubonic plague or something like that, entire communities being wiped out in a matter of months, any outward sign of illness such as sneezing was reason for great concern. And, believe it or not, prayer. And so, I know, yeah, well, I can see that. There have been some people who sneezed for 20 years. I can see why they'd be praying to anything holy that it would stop. But the bottom line is that the social custom of verbally acknowledging a sneeze predates Pope Gregory the Great. And so, and by the way, 77 CE. So prior to that, hundreds of years, Pliny the Elder mentioned the custom. And why is it we salute a person when he sneezes? Pliny pondered. An observance in which Tiberius Caesar, they say, the most unsociable of men, as we all know, used to exact when riding in his chariot even. The fact that Pliny didn't know the meaning of the tradition suggests it's been around long enough that maybe its origins are lost, but for those historians who I guess need a PhD and are willing to write about anything, the bottom line is that it's thought that the sneeze is an outward sign of sickness and saying bless you is an outward sign of, you know, get better. Hey, it's as good as any. But, you know, too bad we can't ask Pliny, but I'm sure that somebody else will probably have something to say about it. And I'm positive that evil spirits entering the body is there somewhere. All right, maybe on another show we'll find that. So, as I say, around the world, everywhere, salute in Italy and in some of the Spanish countries, Gesundheit, and also popular in the U.S. as far as that goes. All right, so enough about sneezing there. 888-876-5593. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio. So what's going on?
Hi, Rowley. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard from James?
Yes, we talked to him last night on the air.
I didn't hear it.
It was the end of the show, and I'm sure we'll hear from him again after the world settles.
Okay, and number two, I was taught in grade school, going through Catholic raising from grade school to high school, that God bless you was the devil leaving your body.
I love that. I just love it. You know, that's the one that I thought it would be when I first saw this article. I thought the devil's in here somewhere. And I guess, yeah,
right.
That has been taught in some ways. But according to those who try to, get meaning out of it, apparently it dates back to it being an outward sign of illness. But I like expelling the soul from the body. Sounds good.
Right. That's what I always thought it was. And that's why when someone sneezes, that's what I tell them. And you could be in an area and someone sneezes and no one says anything, and I always say God bless you. And number two is for an update. You know all the problems that my brother's wife is going through.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the update. She had to have a colonoscopy. And of everything else that's going on, they found 14 polyps, and then they stopped the colonoscopy because they found a mass. She had to go through it the next day, and they went and did another colonoscopy, and they found the mass, and they took the mass out, and now they're waiting to find out
if it's malignant.
Cancerous. Wow. And last I talked to my brother, his wife was on the phone, so I didn't ask. So I don't know what the results were.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on there. And I'm hoping it's okay.
Oh, well, of course. Absolutely, as far as that goes.
Right.
And, you know,
because of all the stuff she's gone through.
Yeah, you know? Don't get emotional. We got to
right.
teach you not to be emotional, Jim. It's too hard on the body. Truly.
Right.
So cut it out. All right. As far as that goes.
I've cut it out.
So that's, that's the deal. The good news about colon problems is they usually are detectable at a point when they're still treatable. There are some cancers, especially pancreatic cancer, for instance, where by the time you have symptoms, you might as well be planning your funeral. Unless you've caught it for some other reason, it's pretty much silent until the end. That's not as true with colon cancer. So hopefully it's a good sign, and it could be. And even at the worst, hopefully it hasn't spread and is life-threatening. So there's a lot of possibilities there, and they're not all bad. So let's wait and hear.
Right. Right. And this has been a 2-year saga for her.
Yeah.
And number two is with what's going on here is every morning I wake up and my eyesight is getting dimmer.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy about that.
No.
And then tomorrow, my friend, she's coming over, and we're going to finish off the last things in my house.
Good.
I spent the whole day emptying my bedroom.
Excellent.
And I had so many T-shirts that are, medium and large. And I'm sorry, but I've become extra large.
Oh, all right. All right.
I filled up, a garbage bag full of all that, and we're preparing to have them come get it on Friday. And it's emotional when you
of course it
see
is.
All this.
Yeah, but you'll be fine.
You went through.
Yeah.
And also, too, is I am very sorry that I didn't hear James last night, because I just had, it's you know, I finally said, okay, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Yeah. Sleep is sacred, and you didn't miss anything. We're glad he called in, and he'll be checking in again as the dust settles in his life. So that's fine. But, yeah, I congratulate you for continuing this process. I'm very sorry to hear about your eyesight, but, of course, neither of us are surprised about that, and that's why I'm always staying on you to make the changes to adapt for the time when you can't see. And you're doing that. You're doing that with what you're doing to get out of there, so keep it up.
And I wanted to tell you about the anesthesiologist.
Okay, real quickly. Tell me about that quickly.
I got another bill.
Oh, no. Okay.
And they said, you haven't paid, and we're going to the collections agency.
Of course.
So I left messages on their billing because they only respond by voicemail.
Yep. Yep.
So finally, I heard from them, and they said, what's this all about? I said, I just got a letter saying you're going to a collections agency for my,
my
August 12th thing. And they said, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. This was all cleared up on November 4th. And I said, well, what's going on here?
Well, come on. You know what's going on.
The collections agency sends me a notice that they're going to go after me.
Right, absolutely. And you know what's going on here, Jim. I hope you do anyway. There's several things that are possible, but one, when you say it's cleared up on November 4th, this is only November 18th. The people who sent you that letter might not have any way to know it's been cleared up at this point. The other thing is, don't be surprised if you wind up hearing from people down the road, further down the road, because very often uncollectibles are sold. In fact, they're sold, and resold. Your only obligation, and you're doing it, your only obligation is to call and contest it, and just don't be emotional. Don't be frustrated. Don't be anything. Yep. Just go through the steps.
I'm not emotional. I was angry.
That's emotional, Jim. That's emotional. That's what I'm saying.
No,
don't be angry. Don't be frustrated.
I wanted to tell them, what's going on here? You know I'm legally blind.
None of that matters.
You're doing this to try to collect money from me as being a senior citizen.
None of this matters, Jim. It's not personal. Understand this. It's not. It's the way it works, and you're going to be fine. Just anytime you get a bill, you call and you disavow it, period. And if it's something down the road, hopefully this won't happen, but if it's sold and resold a year or two from now and you get some other letter, immediately respond saying, I do not owe this money. Because for individuals listening who will get those kind of bills, if you don't respond and disavow the bill, it can become collectible even though it's not real. So that's what's important. And you're doing it. And that's it.
Right.
But don't be angry. Don't be frustrated. This is, believe me, it's not personal.
Right. And I thank you very much. And I thank all your listeners. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
And you too. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. All right. It's a good deal. Yeah, it can be frustrating for sure, but just keep in mind, it's the process. But yes, if you don't believe anything I say, believe this. When debt is sold, the way the law works, insane though it is, it's true, is that if you get a letter claiming that you owe money and you have to respond in 30 days, if you do nothing, even though you don't owe a thing, you will owe, because the debt becomes collectible. So always write back and say, send me proof of this. I do not owe this money, basically, things of that nature. And by the way, even if you do owe the money, if it's been, you know, four or five sales down the road, chances are they don't have that proof. All right, so 888-876-5593. Got some requests to play, got some votes to take and calls to take, and hopefully one of them is you, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Roy Rogers. No, not the cowboy, but I got a story about that. Willie Dixon wrote it originally, but I thought the Roy Rogers version was just the best. And it came out about 1996. He put out a CD, Rhythm and Groove, and it was on it, and I just loved it. But the first time I heard it, went to this Chinese restaurant in Annapolis, where they featured Szechuan Doo-Wop on Saturday nights. The guy playing the records played that, and I said, that is just terrific. And he was kind enough, he mailed me a copy of the CD, and so there it is. But I was thinking, I don't know that much about Roy Rogers, no D, by the way, as far as that goes. But what's interesting is AI, of course, which, you know, will either make you laugh or make you cry. In this case, will make you laugh. I thought, I'm pretty sure the guy is a Bay Area guy from San Francisco and all that. And I knew some other things that he did, but I thought, well, let me look it up, right? And so AI says, yes, Roy Rogers did record the song Built for Comfort, originally written by Willie Dixon. I'm thinking, so far so good, actually. Let's see. Rogers' version, released in 1996, features a different arrangement. While Rogers is best known as the King of the Cowboys, he also had a prolific career in blues. I'm like, what? All right, not the yeah. All right, that tells you all you need to know about AI. Speaking of which, did you know when you go to Amazon and you look at all those different medical books they put out there, you know, there's always someone hawking it. You've probably seen this, you know, whether it's the cure for diabetes or hemorrhoids, you name it, everything in between. 82% of them are totally AI written. Oh, yeah, that'll make you feel better right away. We've got Don and Beloit coming up, but first we got the news and then some requests from Evelyn on WGN Radio.
When things go wrong, this always happens to me. I never get no answers or sympathy. They just say,
oh,
one time in school I failed in history. Teacher, why this happened to me? It couldn't be my fault. The tests were too rough, she said.
Oh, well, that's tough.
Oh, it's tough. Don't put me down now. It's you I love. But she just said,
oh, oh, well, that's tough.
What's tough?
Life.
What's life?
A magazine.
Well, how much does it cost?
It costs 20 cents.
But I only got a nickel.
A nickel.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Gabriel and the Angels. Yes, indeed. That was Evelyn from Michigan's request, 1962 on Swan. Of course, yes, Gabriel was actually Rick Kellis, one of five white boys from Camden, who pretty much had an entire career over that. That was it. But Rick Kellis went on to some really interesting things, a.k.a. Gabriel, although he dropped that fairly early on. He's got a master's from California State Northridge in the psychology of music, of all things, and he'd been to Temple and to Rutgers and to all that, but ultimately he really got involved in music promoting natural consonants and all that kind of stuff. But he started out, he did some theology, and then he got into metaphysics, and I love it when he was asked that he devolved to the lowest rung of philosophy, politics, and in recognition of the need to return to basics, he got back to music, and so there it is. And Rick Kellis, a.k.a. Gabriel, on Swan. Yeah, you know that Dick Clark had a hand in that somewhere. All right, so 888-876-5593. Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Did I just hear you say the words natural consonant?
Yes, I did. Absolutely, yes. Achievable through the use of a natural tuning system based on the natural law of consonants. Gain control over the consonants-dissonance continuum.
Well, I have a chemical engineering degree, but I and a few other things. I'm really curious what that guy would say about what that really means. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, believe me, I would assume the amount of hard science he took in his entire college career is nil.
Well, I am going to stare at a wall tonight and think of the natural consonants.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that would be it. Gain control over that, don't you know? The consonants, dissonance, continuum.
That's right. Well, I wanted to vote. I sent you an email earlier, but I wanted to vote for some of Icky songs.
Oh, excellent. By the way, I looked when I saw on the screen, send an email, I thought I'd better look for it. I couldn't find it, but then again, I don't know what your name was.
Okay. It usually says, Don from Beloit, exclamation mark.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean in the subject line?
In the subject line.
Oh, well, yeah, let me, wait, before we do anything else, let's see if I can find that. All right. Yes, here we go. Oh, was it 7:18 p.m.? Here we are. Yes. All and right. And we have Styx legend Dennis DeYoung blast Shameful Rock Hall. Good for him.
Yeah, I know you and I are no fans of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well,
but,
now, I haven't
really
read this
article.
I haven't read it yet.
The minute I saw this.
But did he get into what they charge you for this? Do you know, it's $10,000 a table.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll tell you who really...
Well, that's the least. I think that's the least of his... Right? He's got a bunch of gripes that are pretty legitimate. He basically thinks they should... change the name because it's so ridiculous.
Well, I agree.
The people that they put, but he thinks they should call it the Contemporary Music Artist Hall of Fame or something.
Well,
but I didn't know about it. He refers to 2022. I didn't realize Dolly Parton had withdrawn.
Oh, yes.
Because she obviously didn't think it was appropriate for her as a country artist to fit the bill for their rock and roll thing. Yeah, right. Good for her on that. And he says the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd like to vote.
No.
Sure.
Oh, no. You almost digitized out of our life there. I could hear the fateful sound. What are you voting on?
One of my brothers was totally horrible. Hated Green Day. Anything Green Day. But I was going to say American Idiot by Green Day is a terrible, horrible.
I've never even heard of this group. Who are they?
That's probably good. That's probably better.
No, seriously, Green. Early 90s. Green Days. Plural or singular?
Green Day.
All right.
Single.
Here we are. Oh, it's a person. Oh, that's frightening.
They're a group. Green Day's a group.
Yeah, alternative band from East Bay. Oh, God. All right. They were originally Sweet Children, but they changed their name before their first release. Billy Joe Armstrong, Michael Pritchard, and Frank Wright. No, I never heard of them.
Well, you're probably better off, better off.
Well, they had several albums.
Let's pick a Sinatra one. I picked Petula Clark's Downtown. I think that was a hit.
It was a big hit, a huge hit. I'll do that. Okay, what else?
I'll pick on that one first.
Okay.
I like Sinatra, but not that one. Yeah. Mm. Could you play a three for me?
Not tonight.
Some requests?
What do you got? Well, let me see if I like them. What are they?
How about Tina Turner's Nutbush City Limits?
Maybe. All right.
How about Marion Montgomery's That's Life?
We'll go with Nutbush City Limits. All right. What else?
And how about anything early Marcia Ball career?
Yeah, I played her for you last week, but I'll look for something else. All right.
Okay.
All right. You got it.
Yeah.
We'll play at least one of them, maybe more.
I don't think I told you this, but the big news around here is that, you know, the old GM plant in Janesville that closed, it shocked everybody, 2009, I think. It's been flat, and it's like 40 or 50 acres of empty flattened industrial wasteland in the middle of Janesville right now.
And what are they going to do with it?
The city is pushing this big plan what else? Another AI center. They want to put a big AI center. Some development outfit wants to do this. Yeah.
What township is this in specifically?
This would be right in the middle of the city of Janesville, where the
right in the city of Janesville. And so, tell me about their infrastructure for internet.
Well, that's a good question, and but I'm more familiar with the electric grids and stuff. And,
yeah, I understand,
and,
but you
not saying how much. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
where I'm
We're
going with this. I guess
the trouble is. Yeah, well, everybody here sucks. It's all stuck. We're all stuck with Spectrum. That's basically
well,
Spectrum
it,
territory.
It, yeah, and it's soon going to get even worse. They bought Cox, but that's another story. But
That's right. You and I talked about that one.
The deal is on this that it could go two ways. They're not going to get an AI center if they don't have the infrastructure to support it. And whoever is going to lay that down, hopefully, if I were to the premises, I would expect in that situation, hopefully that would extend to business and residential as well. That could be good for Janesville.
Yeah, I see what you're going with that. Yeah, yeah, that like a pipeline. It'd be a new pipeline
if they do it. Now, a lot of them will weasel out, and you'll hear the words that you'll hear, their true weasel words is fiber-powered internet, meaning they've got fiber to the node, but after that, it's probably copper to your damn house, you know, or coax, but
yeah.
you know what I'm saying. And so it may be a thing where they're only going to put it to nodes and you know, put it to something the size of the former GM plant, but if they would actually do it to the premises, that would be wonderful.
I think fiber is pretty basic around the whole area by now. That's a good point.
I do. Well, Spectrum has the franchise in Janesville, and so I assume that is not fiber to the premises. Now, what I don't know, AT&T is in there. I don't know if they're offering U-verse and what kind of fiber they've got. But I think some of the outer lying areas are frontier. Oh, my God, I'm breaking in a rash just saying it. And the bottom line is that it's unknown at this point. When you see Spectrum, they'll use the weasel word, fiber-powered internet. No, just no. Don't even start with me on that.
Well, I'll take to the streets, Riley,
right.
And I'll start asking some people.
Right, go door to door.
And
knock on those doors, ask them. All right,
see
thanks.
How they're doing with their bit speeds.
Yeah. Well, yes. Is it all symmetrical? Right. All right, thanks.
I'm leaning towards upgrading to the satellite. You and I talked about that.
To Starlink.
I'm
well,
more, yeah, doing the Starlink.
And that's all right. You got some latency there, but it's getting cheaper.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, good deal. Thanks.
Yeah. Well,
talk
nice
to you
chat
later.
With you.
All right.
Always.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We got Chuck in Rockford coming up. There's room for you, too, voting on the world's worst hit records and whatever else is on your mind. And more of Evelyn's Requests on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Evelyn has good taste there. Valerie and Nick, yeah, Ashford and Simpson, you bet it. They wrote it, 1964, it was on Glover. And that was Henry Glover's label, and he was quite the A&R guy. Started out as a trumpet player in big bands and wound up in about the mid-40s going to work for Sid Nathan at King as their A&R director, actually. Did a lot of stuff. Went to New York in about 1958 and joined Morris Levy and lived to tell about it. And yeah, just about the time that George Goldner screwed up with gambling debts again and Morris Levy took G from him, there was Henry to reintroduce some of the stuff with the likes of Sarah Vaughan and Ronnie Hawkins, actually. And so that was the deal there. And he had his own label for a while, and that's Glover. And that's exactly what the Ashford and Simpson, or we should say, of course, if you look at the label, Valerie and Nick were on. And so that was the deal. He was still active in the 70s, formed a production company with Levon Helm and produced some Muddy Waters stuff. In fact, his Woodstock album and that stuff made it to 1991 and is in the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame, as well he deserves. All right, so yeah, but surviving Moish Levy, that's pretty something. You know, he co-wrote The Peppermint Twist, among other things. Yeah, interesting guy. All right, so we have Chuck in Rockford. How's it going, Chuck?
Okay, your volume was down so much I couldn't hardly hear you, though.
I don't know what to tell you.
But I can now, so...
Yes, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don sometime, because I think him and I have some parallel interests.
Ah!
You know, but, you know, he's... Well, I've had, you know, business interests up in the Beloit area.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently heard something about during the 57 production year that a UFO shut that assembly plant down.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got the rest of the story.
Mm.
So I'd like to know if there's any living people that witnessed that in the Gainesville area.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's a lot more coming out on the UFO stuff. I had one good sighting that was down near Rock Falls, and it nothing like what a lot of people talked about, you know. But it was a shaft of light come down from the sky, and it whatever was brought it. It was just like whatever was there. It rode the light down mm-hmm. to the ground.
Yeah.
And it was about 50 foot off of the road that I was on. This was like at night. And I would have thought, you know, that I would have went and investigated it, but it scared me enough that I was glad to get out of there.
I guess.
Because, yeah, there was birds and stuff that were flushing out, you know, when it got close to the ground.
All right. Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We'll pick you and the UFOs up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. The Duets. Yeah, that's impressive that Evelyn would remember them. There were a couple of teens in Chicago, Barbara and Mary Frances, and they recorded for pretty much everything George Lehner family had in the way of record labels. Whether it was MPAC or Wonderful or Marvelous, which this one was on, they were on it. And in this case, Andre Williams, yeah, Mr. Bacon Fat and Jailbait, wrote it and produced it. And what a fine song all the way around as far as that goes. 1964 on Marvelous. All right, so that's nice. Yeah, I like the duets. All right, so let's see. We were talking with Chuck in Rockford, and Jim meanwhile called back and said, have Don call and give me his phone number. I want to talk to him, and I think Chuck wants to talk to him also. So Don, should you be brave enough, call us and give your phone number and to let us know who to give it to, and we'll do that. All right, so back to Chuck.
Am I on?
You are.
Yeah, you know, I'm just getting used to one of these smartphones, and it keeps outsmarting me.
Well, they're not very smart, so don't even say that.
Well, I got a black screen on here, you know, and if I knew how, I could talk to you face to face.
No. Well, yeah, you wouldn't see me. That would be out of the question. But
anyhow, one of the things I neglected to say about that sighting was that shaft of light was like a giant laser, and it was kind of a blue green color.
Yeah.
And there was sightings like that all over the country that particular night. Which you know gives it some kind of a sorting out of and I know I've heard of some other sightings. There's one that I thought was real, and that was George Romney saw a cigar-shaped thing when he was on a flight. And I think at that time he was governor of Michigan.
Yep. There's countless stories, enough that some of them have got to be real. You know, we're just hearing on the news about the bill about Epstein that has passed. You know, there's always people trying to get bills in about let's find out what's really going on in Area 51. But so far, nada.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen a lot of government installations that... I don't think privately they could even be run, you know, like I think it was someplace over in Indiana that I saw a storage unit that the government had that was climate controlled.
Uh-huh.
And I'll bet it cost almost as much as Fort Knox. To run.
Oh, yeah, there's really interesting installations. Many years ago, they were actually auctioning off missile silos. Obviously, they took out the missiles. they didn't include the elevator, or I would have been very tempted. But even so, some of those were pretty tasty looking. You know, they went all out for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've even heard some recent stuff that they had some dummy ones just in case.
Yeah, right, right.
They wanted to take them out while they would just be shooting blanks, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever.
But they've sold all those. And, you know, it would have been a good deal, but can you imagine what it would cost to put an elevator in that sucker to get down to the bottom?
Yeah. It's amazing just the ability to even do the excavation.
Probably wouldn't need air conditioning. That's about the only good news.
Yeah. There's so many things that the government's into. It's just like the thing with Howard Hughes. He had an unlimited budget to do some things, like recover a submarine that had been lost in the Pacific.
Yeah, What was that Project Azorian, the CIA? They were trying to get K-129 from the Pacific Ocean floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually fairly recent. That was fairly recent history. I mean, 50 years ago, but 1974. And the thing sunk in the 60s off of Hawaii. You don't want to say off of Hawaii, probably 1,500 miles, but nonetheless.
Speaking of history, I just turned 90.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Do you think we'll be around for 10 more years?
Well, I don't plan to be. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good.
Well, I want to be if I can.
Well, good for you. Yeah, so 1935 then. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and I still have a head of hair, so, I mean, if that kind of says anything.
So,
Both of my parents lived into their 90s.
Yeah.
But I'm the oldest. Five of my siblings have all died of cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But I had a brother that was 20 years younger than me, and he's been gone for 5 or 6 years right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
And he died of cancer. But in his case, I think it was more the cure that... It got him.
Oh, sadly, that is beyond true. You know, the day will come when we'll look back on these times as absolutely barbaric. Talk about being utterly clueless on this. It's just alarming to me what people are put through in the name of medical science, which is an oxymoron as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I just heard something recently that they said there's been an increase in amputations.
Oh.
And, of course, I guess, you know, that comes with it. Type 2 diabetes.
Well, right, but not only type 2 diabetes. If you listen to, you can even just watch television and listen to these ads for this, that, or the other thing, and there is a huge side effect of increase in lower amputation. So, yes.
Yeah, I had a teacher that I went to visit, and, she lived to be 100.
Mm.
And she had started out with, she was diabetic, and they were taking her, take her feet off, and then they take a little bit more off.
Right.
But they finally got up to her hips.
Yes.
By the time made that 100 mark.
Very
but
sad.
She did make the 100 mark.
Well, part of her did anyway. So.
Yeah.
So. All right. Very good. All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you, and happy, happy birthday. That's wonderful. Next time we'll talk about some of the things that you saw as a child.
Yeah, at least a year since I've talked to you. And I'd like to maybe get some regular conversation where we can have a meeting of the minds here. And
all right.
Without getting into politics.
That is absolutely forbidden. But other than that, you betcha, and there's plenty to talk about, and I look forward to doing it. All right.
I believe it's been over 30 years ago that I met you there in Rockford.
Yes, on Brendanwood, I think, was the address, 3901 Brendanwood. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I remember it well. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care now. Right,
good deal. Yeah, 1992, I was in Rockford. And, I've told that story many times. Talk about someone who did not want to go, and it turned out to be the best move I ever made. Yeah, I learned things that, because when you're doing, at that time, 4 hours of talk radio with no callers, you learn the art of the four-hour monologue, either that or perish, and I wasn't quite ready to go. I'm rethinking that now. We'll get to Fran in Austin, who's going to be voting on the world's worst hit record. So, Fran, what you got for me?
Well, I'm going to second some. First of all, John's going to be happy because I'm going to second his Mighty Quinn.
Okay.
I do not like that song.
Okay.
somebody voted for Look.
Look?
My heart is an open book.
Absolutely. Yes. Carl Dobkins Jr. Yes, absolutely.
God.
The flip side of that was actually a decent record, My Pledge of Love. It's always like that. In that where, the B-side turns out to be the savior and they don't play it.
I don't know how they decide what's going to be the A side and what's going to be the B side? I don't know if it's just whatever they like best,
whoever they have. Usually it's whoever they have in charge of A&R, and he might well have been the producer, but usually that's where it falls. Rarely does the artist have a say. But I'll play my Pledge of Love as the next break, and you can see if you like it better than My Heart Is an Open Book, which wouldn't be hard since you hate that. All right, so what else you got?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Lou Christie, Lightning Striking.
Lightning Strikes, okay.
And Rhapsody in the Rain.
Yeah, they go together, don't they? All right.
They do, yeah.
Got them both. Excellent.
If I could vote for anything by, I would do that with him. I cannot stand him.
Yeah. Ugh. I know, he made a whole career out of screeching like that.
I know. Well, you know, it's weird, like, I like some, like, Gary and I I like the Four Seasons. Gary cannot stand anything by the Four Seasons. And, I mean, I don't like everything by them.
Oh, now, that's interesting.
Know.
I wonder if he's heard Soon.
Don't know. But all right. if I want to, you know, if I want time by myself, all I have to do is put on some Four Seasons and he goes in the other room.
Yeah, little Big Girls Don't Cry and he's gone. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, exactly.
I think Soon might be an outer liar here. He may not hate that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to look for it here. If I've got it on here, I'll play some of it. Here we go.
I might know it when I hear it.
Is Gary nearby?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, well then
he's listening.
Here's a little of Soon. Listening to it again, I can see he might hate it, but I kind of liked it.
I like it. I don't remember hearing that before.
I'll tell you why.
Everything.
Well, talk about a mistake. It's a B-side. The A-side of that song is Ain't That a Shame. I am not making this up. Yes, in 1963, VJ, in their lack of wisdom, released Ain't That a Shame as the A-side and Soon as the B-side.
Oh God, that's what I wonder. Why in the world? It seems like so many of these records that you know, the B side is so much better.
Yes, you know? Yes, absolutely. All right, so what else we got?
And I don't know if I already voted for Jennifer Tompkins.
I don't. Well, if it's on there, you did, because I don't think anybody seconded it.
Okay, well, I hate to do that because you know how much I love Rupert Holmes, but
yes.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't. All right, it's on there now, Street People. Yes, I understand, but, you know, it's got a great flip side.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, I wish that would have been the hit.
Right.
You know, but no.
Exactly.
And I think that's all I got for tonight.
All right, then we'll do it again tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, and yeah, we'll do that Carl Dopkins Jr. next, see how Fran likes it. And we're going to take your requests. And, of course, we've got 2020 news before the hour is out as well. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
I will always bring your happiness, give you everything that I by your side is where I'll always be, holding with my arms so close to me. next to you. My love will grow stronger and greater and deeper and truer with every passing day. I'll kiss you and kiss you forever and ever. You're in my heart to stay. Tell me that you feel the same as
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, maybe it's not record of the year, but let's face it, it is better than Look, Look, My Heart is an Open Book. Yes, that's Carl Dobkins Jr., indeed. All right, so 888-876-5593. We are apparently voting on the world's worst hit records. That seems to be the big interest tonight, and that is fine with me. We can do this through next Wednesday. Then Thursday, I tabulate, and Thursday night, while you're eating turkey, I'll be playing them. Laura in Des Plaines, welcome back to WGN.
Hello. Okay, just a few fast thoughts, and then I have a question about a caller.
Uh-oh.
It's nothing. It's something you guys were discussing.
Mm.
Okay, first of all, I hate the song Hang on Sloopy or whatever it's
okay.
going to be.
Yeah, good enough.
And more contemporary, well, from my high school days, it's Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Tonight. Everybody
oh, yes.
Tonight.
All right. Yeah, that's like late 80s.
Yeah, I think so. And also another song I heard when I was a teen, Tainted Love.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Tainted Love. And
don't like them.
All
no,
right.
I like some of the earlier dorky songs that people don't
yeah.
like.
Well, Soft Cell had the hit, but it was actually a re-release of Gloria Jones who had it originally.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah but
it just annoyed me.
Okay.
But, okay, this is like a month ago, so put on your thinking cap.
Uh-oh.
Somebody called about hauntings and how some nuns wouldn't cross over. Do
uh-huh.
you remember that conversation?
Yes, I do remember that conversation. I do.
What? How does this work? You go through the light, and then what do you do once you get there?
Okay, well, firstly, of course, this is all conjecture, because anybody who's really
well.
Made the trip hasn't come back. All these near-death experiences are kind of like the demo version. You know, if they came back, they haven't really been all the way, have they? So it's pure conjecture. But the theory is that when you die, and from the time you die until your last service, if you have one, or memorial, there is a white light that forms. And if you walk through it, and by the way, the white light is not specific to you, so if there's an earthbound spirit who hasn't crossed, they can cross through that same white light. All right, and so if there's any ghosts listening, attention ghosts, hang around a funeral parlor because there will be a white light and you can walk through. All right, many people don't walk through and they become, of course, earthbound spirits. But when you get to the, John's saying, shut up. Oh, I see, it's the news. All right, I'll pontificate right after the news. Stay where you are.
Sounds
we'll pick
good.
It up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Essex. Yeah, I tell you what, Anita Humes has a very recognizable voice. And that was the flip side of Easier Said Than Done, 1963, on, of course, Roulette. And that was on their first album, Easier Said Than Done, in 63. Which, by the way, the follow-up, Walkin' Miracle, was another album. So they put out two in 1 year. And Henry Glover produced that, along with George Goldner. So, there you have it. And that was the fourth of Evelyn's requests. So we have fulfilled that and happy to do that. Fine choices, one and all. Back to Laura in Des Plaines, back to the subject of death and dying. All right, so the deal is, theoretically, when you die, here's the white light. And so if you cross through it, now this is where it gets interesting. Because if you listen to a lot of these near-death experiences and all this stuff, there are a lot of real commonalities, but there's also some differences. And my gut is that initially, it's like a passion play. You get what you expect. So, you know, if you're LDS and you believe in everything and, you know, all that, that's exactly what you're gonna see over there initially. If you're, if you're Jewish, maybe you'll see Moses. Whatever you firmly believe, I think, is kind of an introduction. Then after the after the dust settles, that's when it gets good. And the one thing that seems to be universal is there's a life review. And the life review is fascinating because you do it. It's not somebody else reviewing your life. It's you reviewing your every moment, but you review it from the standpoint of everyone you're interacting with. So everybody...
That's what I kind of think hell is.
No, that's not... Yeah, that's not hell. That's the life review. And in this, you'll see all sorts of heartwarming things, too. Some wonderful things. But yes, you'll see some things that make you absolutely cringe. Now, now we get into, is there a hell? And that's another one of these subjects. And again, not trouncing on anybody's religion. You know, just going after what all the near-death and other experiences are saying. I'm here on terra firma. What do I know? But supposedly, it has to do with your rate of vibrations, you know, I guess how spiritually oriented you are, not religious, nothing to do with religion, to where you land. Theoretically, now here's the best part about the other side. There is no time. And that's the hardest thing for us on Earth to grasp, is the concept that everything is happening simultaneously. And we have a lot of trouble with that as human beings, but there is no time. So consequently, you are living multiple lives simultaneously. And then you get into the subject of, oh, well, in addition to that, in each life, are you living in different dimensions, harmonics, if you will? In other words, are there seven parallel lives right now where you are? Well, who knows? Some people think that, yes, there is, and you can actually switch to another track. So there is no shortage of topic on this. And anybody who is so affixed to saying, this is the way it is, we just don't know while we're here.
No, what I would like to know is, well, first of all, I put too many things on my plate. I kept saying, you know, give me another scoop, give me another scoop.
Okay.
I signed up for too much in this lifetime.
Most people do. And, you know, that's an interesting thing because if you do that, the reason that supposedly, and again, I'm not on the other side to tell you, but is it's like an escalator. If you can get through so much of this, then you advance more quickly. So a lot of souls say, I don't want a vacation this time. I want, you know, trials and tribulations. And that, of course, explains why people are born with physical handicaps that are just horrendous and things like that. The soul chooses. In no case does it happen to the soul. And then you get into, are there any accidents here on Earth? You know, maybe there are absolutely no accidents, you know, as far as that goes. So, again, I'm not married to any of this philosophy, but that's some of the stuff that's out there.
Okay, and I want to know, am I able to strike people with lightning or haunt them when I go?
Yeah! Well, as far as haunting... if you're an earthbound spirit, you certainly can haunt. You could haunt once you're on the other side, but you're not going to want to. Likewise, for striking people by lightning, that's a very earthbound, wonderful concept, and don't we all relish it? And I delight in it myself, and I have a list. But theoretically, when you've gone to the other side and after your life review and the dust settles and all that kind of stuff, you don't want to do that anymore. But if you're earthbound, remember, earthbound spirits are no more spiritual than you or I, as far as that. So could you haunt? Yeah. You could. Would it make much of a difference? Well, the Amityville Horror wasn't real.
No, but, you know, every now and then you hear, well, I know my mom is with me right now.
Sure, you can feel it.
I got a sign from somebody
yes.
or whatever.
Yes.
But then why doesn't everybody feel that?
Well, it's not them, it's us. You know, it's not a question of how adept is the spirit on the or the soul on the other side able to communicate. It's how receptive are you to the communication, and most of us are not. You know, on the earthly plane, when you're first, you know, coming up, you're born, you're an infant, you get to be a toddler. A lot of people had imaginary friends. How imaginary they were, who knows? But you,
I know, right. I saw a three-dimensional. I could describe this person up and down,
yep.
what he was wearing when I was about 5 years old, and everybody talked me out of it.
That's exactly right. And so what happens is your senses get dulled to it because society does talk you out of it. But many kids see a lot of things, and I have no reason to think they're imaginary. So that's part of it. And then, of course, you know, as we're firmly entrenched in this earthly veil, you know, we're wearing our meat suits, so to speak. Very often we have so many things that are in the way of being able to, you know, feel a spirit that, you know, it's tough. Sometimes it happens regardless, and sometimes the timing is off. And one of my stories, when I was a kid, my adopted dad commuted because he worked in Bolivia and we were living in America. And so he'd go back and forth and back and forth. Well, all right. So there was a trip, and I'll never forget this, because there was a trip and he was going away that night and I just lost it. I cried for hours and you're not coming back and all this kind of stuff. Well, of course, he came back, you know, in a week. However, the trip right after that, he bought it, never came back. And I'm sure, yeah, he was killed in a commercial plane crash, and yeah, it's a long story. But anyway, didn't get a thing. But the deal is that I'm convinced, again, that time is linear here, but not on the other side, that that I knew exactly, but I just pinned it to the wrong visit.
You were reading a chapter ahead,
yep,
yeah.
Yep, yep. And a lot of people like that. You'll hear a lot of people who have had all sorts of life-altering scenarios, and many of them say, I had a feeling, you know, that kind of a thing. So
yeah.
Sometimes we do sense it. But I think that ultimately we're sort of trained out of it. And it's a shame because supposedly we all have guardian angels around us at all times helping us. And if we only ask, yeah, well, so, you know, ask and my records aren't talking to me. You know, I don't know. I like to think I got guardian angels, but they haven't checked in any way I know. So, you know, people who are really intent on that can, you know, try some of the meditation tricks and all that kind of stuff. But for me, life is too short. I'm just trying to get to know Windows 11. I'm not worried about something on the other side.
Okay. And I'd like to, you know, hang out with my old pets also.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I got to get ready for this, Raleigh. I don't have long for this.
Well, none of us do. In the blink of an eye, we'll all be there. And,
yeah, well, the doctors laughed at me about 5 years ago. He's like, you might make it 6 months. I was like, screw you.
Yeah, they don't know. You know, that's one thing that I do think probably that there's a date and, you know, on some level, maybe we know when it is, but I don't know that it's changeable. When it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
hey, let's change the subject.
Yes.
I'm sorry, because we're running out of time.
Yes.
Okay, this is another do you remember. Do you remember a caller? He was blind. Mm-hmm. He went on a cruise.
Yes.
The cruise ship said, we can't take you.
Yes, yes. No, absolutely.
We're
That's
not.
Donovan. Donovan in Vancouver, B.C.,
yes.
who wound up actually getting a deal to work
getting
for the cruise
job.
Ships. Yes.
Have you ever heard how this job turned out?
I think it turned out pretty well. I haven't heard from him in a while. It's been a while, but I think he's just fine.
That's a cool ending. I'm glad he pushed it.
Oh, me too.
And I haven't heard from my favorite caller because I like his taste in music, Sergeant Pappy.
Oh, yes, yes. He needs to call and give it. And Jimmy Peen, we need to get another six-pack. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm glad James in the South Side is.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
Well, I think I covered all my topics.
Sounds all good to me.
More minutes to grab another call.
All right, good deal. Appreciate it. That's right. And to find out what's going on at 2020 News today. Yes, and as you know, in the spirit of CKLW, Kevin Gershon has come up with this along with Steve, who is the voice on it. And if you probably whatever top 40 station you were listening to back in the day in the 60s, you might remember 2020 News. It's stories that maybe you'll hear on the news, but not done quite this way.
No, I enjoy it.
Badge Behind the Bullets, plus Mississippi Screen, and Dumb and Gunner. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Ghost Gun G-Man, a Staten Island sleuth, is snagged again. An NYPD detective allegedly turned Ghost Gun gearhead, stockpiling plastic pistols, phantom parts, and grim gadgetry in a secret Staten stash. Prosecutors say the so-called guardian of the law was grinding out DIY Glocks, dodging serial numbers, safety rules, and simple common sense. And while the department dumps his badge in disgust, one wag wonders, if this is the finest, what do the failures look like? Cops and mobbers. Blow, brother, where art thou? In the heat of the slight, the feds charge. Mississippi-earning cops collaborating with the cartel to cash in on coke commerce. 14 flaw enforcement officers arrested for taking bribes to drive declared drug traffickers and their poison payloads, even ensuring escort service to safeguard shipments of drug dough, G-men maintain. Two sheriffs among the cocaine collaborators, cops claim, considered to have cleared the cartel to carry on in their counties, mired in Mississippi mud. Dueling bozos, deliverance from lethal. A pair of landscapers with shot for brain stumble on a sidearm on a property they were gardening. Not the sharpest tools in the shed. One of them picks up the pistol, points it at his partner, and pulls the trigger. Nothing happens. So the other dual dummy takes his turn at the trigger. Bamilton takes a bullet in the beak. Burr is busted, and both are warned. Clowning around is best left to the real danger field. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
And there you have it for tonight. And Kevin and Steer trying to develop it maybe into a tabloid TV show, which I think would be just great. Nick in Baltimore is back on WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning, Wally. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, okay. I can't complain. I had a quick question, and maybe I'll call tomorrow night about the width stuff. But what was that rating service that you guys were talking about that... Carol Ford.
Oh, that was Pulse. That originally radio ratings. There were two companies that did it for a while. AC Nielsen, but they got out in a blaze of lack of glory. But anyway, there was Hooper, C.E. Hooper, and Trendix. Well, Trendix went away, and here comes Pulse. And Pulse was, they divided each block of a city in square blocks, and then they'd go to, like, the second house with the square, you know, that kind of a thing. And they'd have a clipboard, and they would basically, on a recall, ask if you listened to any of these this week. And that's the way Pulse worked. I mean, I'm simplifying it, but that's about it. And, of course, C.E. Hooper was a telephone coincidental, and that's why those night jocks, those teen jocks, always had, like, 80 shares, because who answers the phone at night? So that was the deal, and that's before they started to put demographics in it. But that was it.
So that was Pulse
and Hooper. In the 60s, you always heard radio stations say Pulse and Hooper number one. Those were the two, and ARB, the American Research Bureau, existed. It was, certainly not a big player in 66. We, as idiots, approved the diary method, thinking that that would get us closer to a true coincidental. We know that's not true. But nonetheless, when they first came out, they, by the early 70s, really started getting into offering demographic information. And then ultimately, they took over by the mid-70s. And Hooper stopped in 1970, and Pulse continued into the 70s. But ARB, they had to change their name. The reason they picked Arbitron was that was the people meter box they had in television, similar to the Nielsen meter. And they had to do that because Hispanics wouldn't return anything to the American Research Bureau because they thought it was the government.
And is that when they started splitting up, you know, into demographics?
Yeah,
and
by the mid-70s, Arbitron, ARB, had made a very good run at telling you that, and when I say telling you, remember, the radio stations pay for it, but the big client are the advertising agencies, the time buyers. And so, you go to the time buyer and you say, well, you know, do you want all 14-year-olds? Or we can tell you exactly who's listening. And the first demo that was desirable was 25 to 34-year-old female. and then it ultimately went to 25 to 54, male and female. But the original one in the mid-70s, that's why I had all those pop adult stations, were going right after 25 to 34-year-old female.
Okay, yeah, and females, because females made most of the buying decisions.
Right, the Procter & Gamble decisions. Now, of course, by 76, here comes Norm Pattiz with the first syndicated barter show, because barter had gotten a very big black eye in the 50s. Yeah, some people went to jail, it's a long story. But in any event, it came back first on soul stations and progressive rock stations, who cared. But by the time stations in the mainstream were willing to run these shows, remember, you didn't only run the commercials within them, you run a promo spot, you know, maybe 5 days a week in morning. What you started to see was the collapse of the national rate card. And that had been the big sweet spot money-wise. And that literally went away.
Wow.
Yeah, very sad.
See, I never knew.
Yeah, and of course all of the big houses, Blair or McGavern Guild or whoever, they had to try to compete with syndicated shows that were going to advertisers and saying, we'll do it for $3 cost per thousand. Hell, now it's below a dollar, I'm sure, but we'll do it for $3 cost per thousand. So what they did, they started to band together and form their own quote-unquote unwired nets, and that's when Interrep came around and things like that, where it was three or four rep firms who joined together and they created a thing. The problem is that the radio stations who took these buys were taking it as a fraction of what their national rate card was. Because that's how they competed. Oh. Yeah, so I screamed at the time, do not do this. And the same thing that I'm screaming now with programmatic, do not sell programmatic. I mean that sincerely, and they all are. But the problem is, if you can buy a spot for 10 cents on the dollar programmatically, why would you ever pay full freight? It doesn't really matter that you have it at an exact time.
Right. And they never listen.
Well, no, they... Yeah, exactly.
They never listen. Yeah. Well, I'll give you a call tomorrow.
I hope so. I'm going to talk to, in the first hour, Steve Probst. But after that, I got 2 hours, and I'll spend them all with you, so call early.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
bye-bye.
Now I've got literally a minute because we're going to break early and say goodnight to everybody. And of course, tomorrow night, full show, Steve Probst. But let me see if I can take a couple votes before we depart. Eduardo in Tampa, what you got? Eduardo in Tampa has left the building. All right, call me tomorrow, Eduardo. That was quick. Karen in Madison's got some votes. All right, Karen, what you got?
Okay, I've got four. I'm just going to give you four turkeys.
Go for it.
Call it, and I'll
I'm ready.
Leave the other one. Horse with no name.
Okay.
I think somebody had said.
Yeah, right. America, go on.
The Titanic, Life Will Go On, or whatever the name of that song.
Oh, yeah, Celine Dion. Celine. Okay, yep, you got it.
And Debbie Boone.
You Light Up My Life, okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then... There's, I think it's Diane Ross, Upside Down.
Oh, interesting. All right, Upside Down,
yeah,
absolutely.
I don't like that.
Good choice. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You know if Bear got a home?
So far, Jim's been able to keep Bear. But we'll talk more about that hopefully when it goes tomorrow.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Good night.
You too.
Good night. Thank you.
We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show fun to do. So do it again tomorrow night. In fact, call Steve Probst in our first hour right here. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.